I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Jeff Bliss in Specific Watch. We go immediately to Los Angeles because what we're looking at here is a recovery from an accident of some days past. It plagues a part of Los Angeles I'm unfamiliar with. It's called Boyle Heights. I'm always tempted to get that wrong because there's something in Boston that vaguely is the same name. I'll go immediately to Jeff to help me correct. Jeff, this is where there was a fire of storage facility that turned into a cloud of toxic chemicals. What is the name of the part of Los Angeles we're talking about? Good day to you, Jeff.
Good day, John. It's Boyle Heights, and it's in East LA, predominantly Latino, on the middle to lower end of the economic scale, but still an established neighborhood. It's been there for decades and decades, you know, probably even more than a century. And it's an area that has oftentimes been kind of an afterthought for politicians. They go there to make sure that they're flying the flag and that you know, they want their votes and we're all there for you, but they often get put aside. And of course, this fire and the cleanup afterwards has helped highlight the problem there, that they don't get the attention they need. They're working hard to clean up the more than, you know, several million pounds of rotting, spoiled food that was in this refrigeration complex that burned. But as you point out, this fire burned for more than a week. And Karen Bass was out of town again when this was all happening. She was busy opening the Obama Library. And then she had been kind of weekly showing up and WEAK afterwards. She wasn't really a force. And so people are saying, here we go again. Every time we have a disaster, she's not there to make a difference. And since then, they've been having problems with all the food that is spoiled, either because of the fire or because it's no longer refrigerated. And if you can imagine millions and millions of pounds of food going bad in your backyard, you get an idea what it smells like, especially in the hot summer sun. And this has now become a smell, a stench that has covered many square miles in the downtown and East LA area that's really caused a lot of problems. And you have related health problems as well because you have vermin infestation. The rat population is just exploding, and the fly and insect problem in the area is also exploding. People are very worried about what the health situation is going to be as a result of this fire.
And it's not going to get any cooler, correct? We'll tuck in the story about the heat dome. Is that centered around Los Angeles or the whole of the Southwest?
The whole of the Southwest. We have an extreme heat warning going on. You know, starting as a heat advisory right now, but then going to extreme heat warning. So we had a period of time there. We were in the high 90s, low 100. It's dropped down into the 80s, which made it feel like spring here. But we're headed back up to over 100 over the next week. And people are really, really worried about that. Plus, you have high surf coming in from the hurricane. A lot of this weather is being pushed forward by a hurricane to the south of us right now off of Mexico. And so you've got high surf, high humidity, and high heat.
About Boyle Heights, there was evacuation. Have those people returned to their homes, or are they still dishomed?
There are a number of people that are out of their homes still, but that's because of the toxic after effects. And honestly, the reports I've seen and the video clips coming out of there is it's just the smell is so overpowering, people can't live there. So they're being housed elsewhere. I can't tell you if it's because of an emergency declaration or they're doing it on their own. That was an early problem. People that are being pushed out of the area by evacuation orders, and yet there was nothing there to help support them in their efforts.
A detail about Los Angeles that's important here. I want a good news story about L.A. is the lifeguards. That surf that you mentioned, the offshore storm, is pushing big waves and big undertow towards the beaches of California. Now, Jeff is big kahuna some days, and I've teased him about a 40-foot wave coming his way. Surf's up. But the other day I saw a wave that Jeff sent me. I thought it was at least 30. Jeff said, 12. Okay, fine. Clearly. But the lifeguards of L.A., they are attractive young people, and they wear a red bathing suit and worry about their noses getting sunburned, but they also do a great service and rescue lots of people, especially on days like this, Jeff, right? With beautiful hot skies and big surf.
You're exactly right. And it's all up and down the coast of California. The information I had sent you was just an example of what they do. Just last Saturday, LA County lifeguards made almost 1,200 rescues. And, you know, that doesn't account for Ventura County, anywhere going north, or San Diego and Orange County to the south. But it gets very busy, and you get people who come out to escape the heat who aren't used to ocean conditions, especially the big ones like we're dealing with right now. And then you throw in regular problems, you know, people who were under, you know, substance abuse problems. You know, we have fighting on the beaches. You have all sorts of things lifeguards are responsible for, or just, you know, performing first aid for somebody that stepped on a pop top or something. But it's a, you know, it's a busy job. Lifeguards have an unenviable job because almost every water rescue they do, they put themselves in danger as well.
Yes, and the good news is the lifeguards are well paid. To my knowledge, there's no labor dispute. And they have a busy task to do because that storm is pushing waves. The wave we're going to follow is north to Seattle. I've held back on this melodrama because I don't have all of the details. Jeff is going to help me. But as I understand it, Jeff, there was a festival in Seattle days ago, given a traditional, a ceremony that comes once a year. And people are excited and they celebrate downtown Seattle. But there was a shooting or a series of shootings with casualties. That story is typical of modern American cities when you have lots of people come together and there's not a lot you can do when the violence breaks out. However, in this instance, it revealed the fact that the police chief of Seattle was not in Seattle for this festival, which is itself highly unusual. Learned later that he was at a conference, I believe, in New Orleans, of police chiefs. However, from there, this tumbled into a story of missed opportunities, delayed explanations, and the mayor, always a good story because the mayor is a rookie mayor, Miss Wilson, someone who has been celebrated as Democratic Socialist of America. At the same time, she's very pleasant to hear, but not the person that you would say, grab the microphone and keep talking. There was nobody at the microphone for hours and hours. Now, I don't want to get lost in the details, Jeff. At some point, the mayor confronted the police chief as to why he was in town. What happened then?
Well, let's kind of revisit. This happened during the annual Bite of Seattle Festival, which attracts hundreds of thousands of people to the Space Needle area, that very lovely park and commerce area people are familiar with because of the Space Needle, which is I was just there a few weeks ago. And it's a food festival. And like I said, it draws hundreds of thousands of people. And in this case, some of the people that came out brought guns with them. And the one that they did arrest happens to be a 15-year-old juvenile. But there's one that they're still looking for, apparently. And this feeds into the whole story. So Sean Barnes, who's the police chief, who was appointed by the previous mayor after a scandal involving a previous police chief, actually does not reside in Seattle. He lives in Chicago and commutes to Seattle. And we're just learning that it's not as frequently as people hoped. And certainly he's been out of town before when there have been other problems. Now, this time he was at a police chief's conference, Black Police Chief's Conference in Dallas. And because he was out of town and because this is all going on and Katie Wilson, who's the mayor of Seattle, didn't really know what to do. There was a big delay in getting people up there to talk about it, more than 5 hours. And, of course, during an emergency situation where they're still searching for this gunman and this gunman or gunmen, and they may be out among the population, people were hoping for some kind of information, something to be communicated during the crisis. And when they did show up, Katie Wilson did a very poor job of answering for herself. And when the police chief was confronted with, you know, why were you out of town and, you know, you don't live here, that type of thing, he almost fought with one of the reporters. And so it was, of course, as they say, a very bad look. And that has since rolled out for a lot of criticism for him and for the mayor. And now the mayor has fired the police chief. But we haven't heard anything more from the chief himself.
The reason that this is so peculiar to me is that Jeff has helped me understand Seattle's been in turmoil for some time about leadership. This goes back to the pandemic days. Wasn't Seattle always in the news because of disruptions in the street, young people confronting vehicles? Was that Seattle or Portland? I can't remember, Jeff.
Well, it's actually both, but Seattle has this reputation that certainly goes back decades with its coziness with socialism. It has a statue in town, a memorial to Vladimir Lenin, believe it or not. But it really got a lot of notice beginning in the 90s with the famed battle for Seattle, the anarchists, the people in black coming out and fighting the globalists. And it has only grown since then. It's become a real hub for anarchists and Antifa and other type of movements like that. And so during the BLM riots and after that, you had things like CHAD, which was the name of this encampment that these rebels controlled in part of Seattle. And there have been all kinds of riots and other problems there since then. And there's been a problem as that's happened, as homelessness has grown there, and as the administration has become more liberal. It seems like there's been a lot of hands off when it comes to pursuing crime. Certainly the defund the police movement has had a strong hold there. So these are some of the problems that are attendant to this, and certainly related to what we saw over this past weekend.
Is Katie Wilson someone who says defund the police?
She has before, that's for sure. She has certainly been squarely with that group, because as you point out, as a member or supporter or endorsed by Democratic Socialist America, that's one of the key, one of the key pillars of what they believe.
There's much more turmoil in the big cities of the Pacific Coast, Seattle and Los Angeles, and the heat dome settling over the Southwest. How to learn? With the CC Wi-Fi 3 from Sea Crane, you can explore thousands of radio stations from across America and around the world right from your home. There are no apps to download, no monthly fees, no ads on the screen, and no microphones listening in. Best of all, you can listen to my show with crystal clear audio without static or fading. The CC Wi-Fi 3 comes with a full-size remote control and can pick up a strong Wi-Fi signal even when it's far away from your home router. To order the CC Wi-Fi 3 or to receive a free catalog, call C. Crane at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit ccrane.com. Also available on Amazon.